Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle.
And Truman. Joel and Danielle, what a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thanks,
We're
Truman.
Glad you're here.
Likewise all around. We are coming to you from For His Glory Ministry, and our website is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
And our phone number, so you have it for tapes that we're doing, including today's show and other things, you can reference from our fulfillment center, which is called The Connection, and their phone number is?
That's 1-866-426-7337.
Would you repeat that once more?
It's 1-866-426-7337.
And we're going to bring you the Bible through Hebrew eyes. We've been studying for years. It's been a blessing and privilege of ours. I am a Messianic Jew, as well as my brother. And today it's a very profound subject that was instituted into our teaching after and as of 9/11, which was a tragedy virtually unspeakable in our history. And unfortunately, tragedies are not over, are they?
No.
So we need to learn how to do what? How to triumph over tragedy.
Right.
And that is the title for today's show. The title today is called?
Triumph over tragedy.
And that's a choice, isn't it?
That's right.
Has not God already given us the victory? Thanks be to God who gave us the victory.
Yes.
We already have the victory.
Yes.
We need to stand in the victory and be who He said we are. We're more than overcomers. Therefore, we fight from victory. Perfect.
Victory.
Instead of just for. You're all marshaled up. So we are to stand in the victory of Christ, the Messiah, and that is what we must do. So I want you to sit back and let God speak to you and realize that in the wake of one of the greatest tragedies to touch both our heart and our land is a senseless and vile attack against all Americans, regardless of race, creed, or color. Such is the face of evil. Birth to such evil was fathered by Satan. Then it came into our world through our sin, which was a complacent, young, indifferent church that allowed much evil into our land and often did too little to stop it. Abortion, drugs, fatherless homes, godless school, electing godless men, even by Christian voters, both who voted for those who violated clear biblical principles and also voted into office by those who did not vote, dishonoring parents,
right.
Not teaching our children the ways of God, not modeling for the young Christ and all His beauty and truth, spiritual fornication, living in sin, sins of the mind, wrong passions of the heart, covetousness, speaking ill against our leaders in the body, failing to pray for the leaders of the land, failing to give in cheerful giving, we are disobeying God, drawing farther and farther away from Him and more into the enemy's trap. Heinous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have been given much, but give little. We've been told to go out into the world and make disciples, which in Hebrew is learners of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the hangout. We often fail to follow through. And so much shakes us. We're so afraid. Yet so little really moves us to action. We think little of the global picture, though we've been told to bring the world into the family of God and teach them to obey all that God has told us to do. We accept spiritual mediocrity instead of mastery. What drives you? What motivates you? What pushes you into excellence? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it the approval of people? Or is it the love of Christ, the Word of God, the truth from above? Pray, pray, pray. Your life is to be a prayer. Your life, people, and mine, all of us here, ought to be, in and of themselves, a prayer. We tolerate much in the name of religion. They believe in God, so we don't witness to them. Do not show them the love of Christ and speak the truth of Christ in love to them. Anything goes in America. When we don't stand for biblical truth, we are prey and apt to fall for anything. And we must come together. Tragedy is one of the few things that brings us together. It should not be so. We usually come together for what? Weddings, funerals, births, and deaths. Were we strong and united, pure before God and passionate for God, mature Christians walking in mastery over this world and bringing heaven to earth, mm-hmm. we could have averted this tragedy and the horrors of our sin that led up to this. For this tragedy has touched the world.
Joel, all of this goes just right to my heart, and I'm looking at the verses which I'm sure many people are familiar with, Ephesians 6:12, where it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places."
We are told that we can stand against these things, and having done all things, we can stand. We're told how to put on the armor of God.
Yes.
We're told how that we are more than conquerors in Him who saved us and loved us, and continues evermore so to do so continually. Continually. We are told in Luke 10:19 that we've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing, by no means shall harm you. Next time I hear somebody says there's a spiritual attack going on, I want to ask you, where are you attacking? Because we are the body of Christ. 1 John 3:8b, Christ says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil."
So this kind of tragedy was not allowed by God, or was not a judgment type thing?
This kind of tragedy should have never occurred, period. What happens is, due to our sin and all that we mentioned earlier, it has created an opening for Satan to step into. The world has been given to us.
Yes.
In Psalms 115:16, God says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given, livnei Adam, to the sons of Adam." God gave it to us, and then you know well in the gospel accounts, Danielle, it's touched you deeply, that Christ talks about using the metaphor of Himself being, which He really is, a nobleman going away to a far country.
Mm-hmm.
And He gifts each one with various talents and gifts. And then one day He says, "I will be back. And I will take stock of what you have done with what I have given you."
So we're responsible
for
what happens here.
Yes. Yes, the owner of the store is returning and taking stock of what we've done. But we haven't been left orphans. Who have we been left with?
The Holy Spirit.
Who is?
He's going to guide us into the path of righteousness.
He's God Himself. Father,
That's
right.
Son,
He is Holy
God.
Spirit.
That's right.
And if you have a question on the deity of Christ, we did a tape series, which will give you our Ministry Fulfillment Center's phone number in just a minute. Please be aware of the fact that Christ, the deity of Christ, is cardinal to your faith and cardinal to heaven itself. You must know that Jesus Christ is God having come in the flesh. So we did a 12-tape series on the deity of Christ, and all 12 tapes are available. What is our phone number for our Fulfillment Center?
That phone number is 1-866-426-7337.
Thank you. One more time, just in case you missed a number.
It's 1-866-426-7337.
Thank you. Now let's continue. Today we're teaching, if you just joined us, on triumph.
Triumph over tragedy.
Right, over all tragedies, yes?
Yes.
Can we triumph?
Yes, we can.
Has God made you more than a conqueror?
Yes.
Has He made you the head or the tail?
Definitely the head.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's do it.
Amen.
When this happened, it was a sad day in heaven, as in every day where there's tragedy on earth that could have, should have, would have been avoided and averted had we not sinned.
And this attack was against all of mankind, the whole world.
Yes. America is a conglomeration of peoples from the world, of all races and religions. Sad day.
Sad.
There's much to grieve over, and there's much to be in pain over, which just tells you there's much to do. What happened is death has stretched out his ugly hand against us, but we will raise the sword of the Lord. The enemy of life and liberty has found us, moved away from God and unrepentant, all too often unmoved by the death of millions of innocent babies,
yes.
where the womb used to be, and thank God in many cases still is, the safest place for a child on the face of the earth. For many, it has become a coffin and has become one of the most unsafe places. And who will cry out for the innocent, for the young and the unborn? We must.
Mm-hmm.
Those with voices, and those that represent Christ on earth as in heaven, His body, His people, His church. Amen?
Amen.
We're also unwilling to be involved all too often in politics, with some startling exceptions. However, our founding fathers were all tremendously involved in politics, were they not?
Yes, they were.
And if you examine the state constitutions of the United States, you'll find typically you needed to be a Christian, a Bible-believing man or woman of God, in order to even run for office. Why, you needed the right values, because you govern with character and principle from your very being. And don't ever separate people, your life, your faith, from life itself. And do not separate church from state.
That's
severe
right.
misunderstanding. And I'll just direct you toward a wonderful Christian scholar and lawyer, I believe, David Barton's ministry, Wall Builders in Aledo, Texas. And he's done a phenomenal job in showing the original documents and founding documents and developed that out wonderfully. So I recommend him highly. David Barton, Wall Builders in Aledo, Texas. Now let's continue. We've been all too unwilling to be involved in politics and government and law, also even unwilling to engage our neighbor, friend, or foe with the passion of heaven's truth revealed on earth, thus leaving the field and a country to an enemy all too willing to imprison us. We don't know our neighbors well, do we?
No, not usually.
You could be in an apartment complex and not know the people across from you for years. A neighbor and other than high by, we all too often don't know them easily enough. People used to sit outside in the evening and get to know each other. You need to knock on your neighbor's door. They shouldn't look at you like somebody they don't even know or recognize. Say, oh, I just live right down a block or even next door. We've lost a sense of community. Even worse, under the same roof, we've lost a sense of family. You can have a family of six sitting together and be miles apart watching TV, radio, and other things, and using that as a replacement for talk, discussion, and getting to know each other under the one roof. We've lost respect for parents. Men have been belittled and maligned.
Ridiculed.
And ridiculed to a horrendous degree. Let us honor each other. Let us raise each other up. I didn't say to put somebody on a pedestal. I said to raise them up to the place and station that God would have them. With total respect, giving them the respect that you'd want to be given yourself, to unto others, as the Bible perfectly says, as you'd want others to do unto you. I'm sure everybody wants to be respected. Then give what you want also. And you will triumph over tragedy in your personal life as well. God asked Adam, and he asked all of us, where are you, Adam? God knew where he was. The question was, Adam forgot where he was. So the question is to remind him, Adam, do you know where you are? And the same question would go for us today. Where are you, church? Listening to the voice of Satan again? Come back to God and go and sin no more. Though there are things that will come to pass in the future to a God-rejecting world, it should not come to the places where there is salt and light in the world. And I will cite a reference to you in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where God appeared on earth in a tetragrammaton in his sacred name. The Lord himself appeared with two angels coming to Sodom and Amorah. Gomorrah is a mistranslation through the Greek. It's A-M-O-R-A through the Hebrew, Sodom and Amorah, and the cities of the plain. And Lot, one individual. You can start at Genesis 18 and then go to 19. And 19 is your focus in Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. And you'll see that God makes the point. And the angel, through the angels, is spoken. We cannot do, not that they would not, but we cannot do anything until we get this man out. As Peter talks about in one of his epistles, Lot was a righteous man, and his soul was greatly vexed in that city. So they had the power and the command of God to destroy the city. But God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So where there are the righteous doing that which is righteous and standing up for truth, we will see salt and light being salty and enlightening the world in their own area. But we need to press in deeper, do more, and counteract the flood of evil. And remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a banner, and you must be there to stand with God, and you will never stand alone. Amen?
Amen.
For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend, katelaben, or overpower it, John chapter 1, verse 5. Behold, I've given you authority. Who did God give the authority to? The people of God, right?
Yes, to us.
So when we have the authority of God, we have been given, therefore, what is authority? It is delegated power.
Mm-hmm.
It's ours.
Right.
To do what? To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So let me ask a question. I want your input both. God gave us the authority to tread. But then who does the treading?
We do.
We do.
If I have the authority to do it, but I don't do it, what happens? If I don't do and use the authority I've been given to tread on serpents and scorpions, what happens? Serpents and scorpions will tread on other people.
Will tread upon us, yeah.
Possibly us.
Yeah.
You have the power.
Yeah, we're the target.
The delegated power, and this is warfare. Now, God has given us the right, just like he told Joshua, I've given you the land, right? In the Tanakh, wrongly called the Old Testament, it's not complete enough, T-A-N-A-C-H, T-A-N-A-C-H, Tanakh. God says to Joshua, I've given you the land. Wherever you put your foot, it's yours. What happened if he didn't put his foot there?
Then it wouldn't be his.
Yeah. Although God had spoken it for him, he had to do what? He had to go get it.
He had to go get it, take it, right.
Amen. We all have muscles. What's the difference? With some who has big bulging muscles and great in various kinds of shape in sports and athletics, if you use it. We all have Bibles? Are we using them?
Yes.
We all have the Holy Spirit. Are we stepping out so he's coming alongside to help us? Because the term parakletos in the Greek, transliterated as paraclete, is literally one who's called alongside to help. But to quote Curry Blake of the John G. Lake Ministries, who does so well in his point here also, he makes the point that we switched roles and we tell the Holy Spirit to do, and we'll help him. He helps us. So who's the one who has to step out?
We do.
Who has the authority?
We do.
Who's going to help us when we step out?
The Holy Spirit.
And then is anything impossible to you?
Nothing is impossible.
To the one who believes
right.
in God and does it with God.
Yes.
So if we see problems in the world, who do we point a finger at?
Ourselves.
The one in the mirror, yeah.
That's right.
And then you can point the finger of conviction. You never should point a finger of condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Just get right with God, get up, go forward, and press in to the mark. Press in, and keep going forward. Brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Having done all things, stand, but first do all things. Sometimes we read that wrong in Ephesians, Truman referenced earlier in Ephesians 6. You go from verse 10 to 17, inclusive even 18. Within that section, that's Ephesians 6:13, it says, having done all things, right? Make sure first that you, what? Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all things to stand. Okay? Verse 13 of Ephesians 6, if you're just joining us, we're teaching this series today. It's called
Triumph Over Tragedy.
Right. Amen. And you can triumph over tragedy, can't you?
Yes, you can.
Sometimes?
All the time.
How come?
Because God said so.
Well, there it is. That's settled. And they all said
Amen.
Oh, amen. So let's not read that last part first. Where it says, well, stand. He said, having done all things, stand. Therefore, first, do all things. And an example, when you put on the armor of God, right, and you're to gird your loins with truth. Let's go over that example briefly. What is it to gird your loins with truth? The girding your loins is so in order you can run with these long, tight, flowing outfits that they used to wear. They would have to pull it up in order to run, and gird it, if you will, around their waist. So if you're to gird your loins with truth, what does that mean? In order that you could run and walk out, you can really go through life, it must be what? Through truth. So you don't just say these things and then walk out the door that day and get spiritually undressed with the first lie. But you must be men and women of truth. And those who know the truth will
Set you free.
Amen. What is that Hebrew word, yada, isn't it? To know, right, from that data to know the truth? Does that just mean, though, intellectually? Because we all have had a lot of Bible teaching, many of us, and we still have a lot of bound Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about unbelievers. I'm not bound Christians. Why? Because how do they know the truth? It's a more of a Western Greek understanding, just
mentally.
Yeah, mental knowledge. They can quote the chapter verse, but that doesn't mean they are the chapter verse. We need to go back to the original language of the Bible. What's the original language of the Bible?
Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Oh, yeah. Even though part of it was written in Greek? Yeah, to quote one scholar, it's Hebrew in a Greek dress. Remember, land, customs, culture, Jewish land, Jewish people, Jewish customs, Jewish culture. But they wrote part of it in Greek. Why? Why would they write part of it in Greek? Why do we write part of it in English? Why do we write the Bible in English today?
To reach the people that are going to be reading it.
Right. And most of the world today speaks what?
English.
That's why we do it. If you want to send a book to China, a Bible, what language do you have to put it in? Portuguese?
Chinese.
Hope not. If you want to send it to Portugal, what language should you put it in?
Portuguese.
Swahili? I hope not. You need to put in the language of the people, which only makes sense. I hope that's an understood fact. Therefore, back at the time the world was Hellenized, mostly Grecianized from about 300 BC to 300 AD. Therefore, at the time period, you needed to translate into Greek to the Greek world, period. Aramaic was moving away from a lingua franca. Greek was becoming the language of business and commerce. Hebrew was always the tribal language, and the Jews never lost their language, period. So, again, having done all things first, what? Having done all things, what must we do first? First, do all things in order to, having done all things, stand. Again, that's too good not to repeat. Having first we must do all things in order to say, having done all things, then stand. Some of you are trying to stand, you haven't done anything, you're naked, you're going to get rolled over. Okay? You need to triumph over tragedy. Otherwise, it would be a tragedy, you don't triumph. Hosea 4:6. What is it? In order to do, you can only do what you know. It says, my people perish for lack of
the knowledge.
Therefore, let us learn, and let us learn together the ways and the words of God, our God, in order to do what? Bring heaven
to earth.
To earth. Truman, would you read for everyone Ephesians 4:12-13 in the New Testament?
For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Messiah, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, mature man, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ.
And what do we say in John 12:21, which is the mission statement of our ministry, which is for His glory? In John 12:21, what is our purpose, our key focal point?
We wish to see Jesus.
Amen. As they came, they said, Sir, the Greeks came and said, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And that's what we want, people. We want you to see Him more clearly so you can love Him more dearly and you can worship Him more sincerely in spirit and in truth. For God desires true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
When Truman read before in Ephesians 4:12-13, we did a tape series earlier. If you're listening to us for the first time, this is For His Glory. And we did a series which I highly recommend that we did called Equipping the Saints on an earlier radio show. And it will take that word equipping and show it to you through a deep study of the language, what it really means and how to do this. And when you do it, then you can move into freedom that God would have us to do. This is critical for us to know. And also, please, don't fear as we're triumphing over tragedy. Don't fear. For God says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. God has not left us alone. He sent another, allos, A-L-L-O-S in Greek. A-L-L-O-S, allos in Greek. Another of the same class and kind to be with us. The very Holy Spirit of God. The eternal Spirit of God. You can triumph. You should triumph. You must triumph. And with God, you always will triumph because He says He always leads you to triumph in Christ. Always leads you to triumph in Christ Himself.
And He also says we can do all things.
We can do all things in the one who empowers us. panta ischuo enton dun muti me. In Philippians 4:13 in the Greek, I can do all things in one who empowers us, who empowers me.
Yes.
And until next time, we say to you,
Shalom.
Thank you for joining us today.